Hey y'all, I'm Leslie Kerrigan, and I'm on a mission to help photographers just like you build successful senior photography businesses. Why? Because when I first started, I couldn't find the answers I was looking for to help me in my business, and I don't want that for you. I created Seniorology to be a complete resource full of education, information, and inspiration for senior photographers. With over 10 years of experience and a lot of trial and error, I've learned what it takes to create a six-figure senior photography business that is still going strong today. I created this podcast with you, the senior photographer, in mind to share with you what works and what doesn't, what I'm actually implementing in my own business in order to help you create the business of your dreams and become the go-to senior photographer in your area. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey y'all, it's Leslie here with another episode of the Seniorology Podcast. Today's episode is a little bit different. I actually got asked to be interviewed by my good friend Jared Hernandez of Photostrap and Jared Ray Photography. He asked me to come on and talk to him a little bit about senior photography, answer questions, and provide advice to senior photographers as a part of an educational series that he is doing through Photostrap. So I thought it'd be a really fun idea to share that interview here on my podcast as well. Oftentimes, I'm the one asking the questions, interviewing others, but this time it felt different to be in the hot seat, so to speak. So if you've never heard my story before, if you've never heard me be interviewed before, this could be a really fun episode to learn a little bit more about me, about why I started Seniorology, about advice for senior photographers, as well as information about Photostrap, who is a wonderful company that makes the straps that I use on my own cameras, and a company that I have supported for many, many years. To find out more about Photostrap, go to www.photostrap, spelled with an F, so that's Photostrap.com. Jared is going to be having a wonderful Black Friday sale, and you can get a photo strap for your very own camera branded with your logo or name of your business during that sale. So now here for my interview with Jared Ray of Photostrap.
So what I was going to say is, why am I doing this? Why am I trying to make these videos and go into me taking over a company like Photostrap and what I wanted to do with it, how I wanted to make it my own, because it was already such a big brand, a big global brand, that had its heart in being a mission-based company, giving a portion of its sales to a nonprofit. So what am I going to do with it? What am I going to bring to the table? And one of those things that I wanted to bring was education. Like, I've been doing this for 15 years. And so I have all these things that I can share with the photography community. So if one of the ideas behind the brand is to be giving back, in its original mission, it was giving to a nonprofit, but I want to give back to the photography community through education. So, I wanted to start doing this and talking with all my friends, to talk about the industry, to give them ideas. When I first started, I didn't have anybody to necessarily ask. And it was before YouTube. It was before social media. Right. The education wasn't there at the click of a button. I was, you know, in Barnes & Noble reading books, wasn't even buying the books because I didn't even have money to purchase them. So I'm just sitting there in the aisles just reading the books. And that's how I learned. And so it's cool that we have this opportunity to give back, because also when we started, we as a community kept everything kind of close.
Yeah,
we didn't want to share. We didn't want to give out that information. We didn't want to educate our competition and make competition for ourselves. And so I'm glad that we're out of that kind of mindset, and that we do just want to freely share. We want to help each other grow. We want to grow the industry, get more respect for it. And it's great that it's becoming easier. but there's still plenty of things to learn. And so I never want to approach things like I know it all as well. I'm always learning, especially with the introduction of video into anything. Like, video is a whole new world for me. So although I'm very comfortable with photography, I'm not so comfortable with the film side of things.
Right.
So with that comes humility, and I'm coming to the interwebs with open arms to give and to receive information. So thank you for joining me in one of the first interviews and getting this off the ground of teaching our fellow photographers.
Well, thanks for having me. Jared and I have known each other for a long time, and he has helped me out on Creative Live and some other places where I have been. So I'm always happy to help you out as well.
I will skip some questions because I want to talk about that. I've been writing some newsletters for photo, and one of those was just the importance of community. And mm-hmm. now we're back in a time where we're not in a pandemic and quarantined, and how we need to be getting out and meeting each other, not just staying behind a screen, not just, you know, learning from each other as secondhand, like, but really getting to get out there and meet people face to face, because those moments where I've met people face to face have been the biggest times where things have changed for me and grown for me. Mm-hmm. And you played such a big part in that, giving me a platform to share at some of these conferences, built friendships. But it also yep. gave me an opportunity to teach at other workshops. It gave me so many different chances that I would not have had I not gotten myself out of my office on uh-huh. planes, going to some conferences or networking events, and just meeting other photographers and learning from each other. So it's yes, so thank really you. Enough.
You're welcome. But there is nothing like that in person. I mean, I'll never forget the shootouts I used to do. And do you remember the one that your plane was late and you missed? Do you remember that one?
I don't, because I have such a horrible memory. You
got delayed and you missed it, but then you came to the end and you still were able to get something out of it, because we had, an event afterwards where we just sat around and talked and shared stories. And you can do that online, but it just is not the same. So, we've had some fun times together.
What opportunities do you think came your way through doing those things, shootouts and hosting conferences and such?
Well, I think in the very beginning, I used to host shootouts so I myself could shoot and learn. I mean, let's be honest, because again, you and I have been around a long time, way back when education wasn't at our fingertips. Nobody was sharing. So I couldn't find anybody to learn from. So I figured, well, maybe a lot of other people can't find anybody, and let's learn together. Let's learn by just jumping in and doing a photo shoot. So that's kind of how I started. So I think, you know, without that, I would nowhere near be where I am today, for sure. And I just think back on all the amazing relationships I've been able to continue to this day. I mean, honestly, you and Brittany and Misty were some of my very first attendees of my very first shootout. And I am still really great friends with all of y'all today. And it's people that you can, I mean, being a photographer is kind of lonely a lot of times. So if you can have a relationship with somebody that's doing something similar, then you have somebody that can understand where you are and where you want to go, and you can vent to them and you can complain to them, and they know what you're talking about, right? So I yeah. definitely think that, you know, shootouts and conferences and workshops that I did in the very beginning allowed me to learn and grow, just like it did the attendees, but it also allowed me relationships that I never would have had otherwise.
I think that's a good point too. And focusing on shootouts as well, if you can do that locally and build the, mm-hmm. the community around yourself too, how important that is for your business where you don't silo yourself off. You don't treat everybody as competition. And I'll try not to get emotional saying this, but when my dad passed at a funeral, at a wedding that day, and I couldn't shoot it. And I had a friend step up and do it, not worry about getting paid or anything. So, had I not built that community, that friendship, I wouldn't have had that burden taken off of me to take care of my client. And they were in good hands. Amazing photographer, shot my brother's wedding. So, yeah, community,
it's important. Yeah, it's important. Very, very important. And, you know, the you know, being able to have someone step in for you when you absolutely need them, but also something as simple as, I don't know about you, but in your mind, you can kind of create these scenarios that are most likely not true because you've never reached out to someone before. You can build them up as this huge competition and they don't like you and you don't like them and blah, blah, blah. But it's because you've never talked to them before. You're assuming a lot of things. So if you just reach out to them, it literally takes that element of competition from here to here. Even if you are trying to get the same clients, it's just a lot better to try to get the same clients for someone you know versus someone you've made up in your head, right? So I think that it can serve so many purposes. But your example is one that is the best reason to have a community, because things happen. I mean, you know, unfortunate things, even a flat tire, like, you know what I mean? Like, it could be a slew of possibilities that could happen that could prevent you from being able to be there for your client. I myself have been in a situation where I was on a shoot and my camera literally broke in the middle of the shoot, but I had a friend and I called her and she immediately brought me her camera and I was able to finish that shoot. Now, thank God it was a senior and not a wedding, because I could have rescheduled, sure. But in that moment, I was panicking. I didn't know what to do. She was a little more seasoned of a photographer than I was, and she just brought me her camera. So it's important for so many reasons.
Yeah. That's a great reason as well, because I've forgotten some lighting and had one light go out on me, and it was in Dallas. And I just had to think about the photographers that I knew, like, in Dallas proper, and found one, and he was able to bring it over in rush hour traffic, but still got it to me in time, because I got to the shoot early to set up. And so, community, like, it's just so important to not silo yourself off, not put yourself on an island away from people. There's so much more opportunity when you're working together, because December is one of my busiest times. And a lot of the time it's just me taking on clients that other photographers are too busy to take on. And so I wouldn't have that business if it wasn't for the friendships that I have with photographers around town. They're like, "Hey, can you, do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Why not?"
And another thing I'd like to point out is you don't have to be someone who, you know, is a quote unquote educator or owns a company that, you know, is for photographers. You can just call up people in your community or email them or reach out via DM and just, "Hey, you want to get together for coffee?" Like, it doesn't have to be some big production. Doesn't have to be a big shootout. It can literally just be coffee, or it can literally be just introducing yourselves so that that person doesn't have this idea of you that may or may not be true, right? So I think any one of us, no matter what place you are in business, new, old, you know, educator, not educator, like, you know, you can build a community. It's up to you.
Yeah, you have to step out there. It's still me being an introvert. It still amazes me that I did this, but I would just reach out to the local photographers who I admired, who thought were so good at what they did. And I would just meet with them, chat, but show them my work and just tell them, like, rip me apart. Like, what is wrong with these? I'm in love with them, but I don't know everything. So can you tell me what's wrong? And they would tell me, like, "Yeah, this angle that you chose here, that's not what professionals do. You may want to fix that." And I'm like, "Oh man, I thought I was being creative with this."
Right. But thank God you had somebody tell you that, because you'd have kept taking photos that way, right?
Yep. So it's all about getting out there and meeting photographers face to face. As scary as it is sometimes.
As scary as it is, but you just never know what door it could open.
Yep, exactly. So what got you, we'll start with the first question now, we'll go all the way back. what got you into wanting to shoot high school seniors specifically? I don't know if I've ever asked you that before.
You haven't? Well, you know, it's one of those things that I shot a little bit of everything, just like most of us do, right? I had small kids at the time, so weddings were not my favorite because, you know, my kids were in, you know, Saturday soccer and baseball and et cetera. And if I was shooting a wedding all day, I'd miss out on that. I have never been a baby person. I mean, I loved my babies when they were babies, but babies are not my thing. So newborns were out. I did families, but in South Carolina specifically, back when I started, families wanted to be perfect, right? Like all the clients I was getting wanted that perfect, everybody smiling, let's pretend our kids don't misbehave photo. And that again, just wasn't something I cared to do. Like it's not true, right? So I started thinking, okay, what can I do different? What is not being served in my immediate market? Number one, that allowed me not to necessarily compete with every other photographer. I, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to compete with them. So if I did something different than they were doing, that immediately eliminated a lot of the competition, right? I could just be friends with them, support them, send people their way, but I was doing something different. So nobody was photographing seniors. It was only that yearbook photo where everybody wears the drape or the fake tux, and that was it. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do something different, right? I'm going to offer this different type of senior photo. It's something that you can get in addition to that yearbook photo. It's something that will show your personality. I really resonate with teenagers. I get along with them much better than I do with babies. you know, they typically want their photo taken. You're not chasing them. You don't have to pretend to be perfect. You can get all kinds of stuff. So I just said, you know, let's do that. And so I just started and created the market. Nobody was doing it at the time. I mean, that's not to say that another photographer in my area hadn't taken photos of seniors, but nobody was specializing in senior photography. So I was able to carve out that little piece of the pie, if you will, in my area. And that's why I started.
And then what got you wanting to teach others, people in high school senior photography specifically?
Well, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Nobody was doing it at the time. You know, now you can find education on senior photography from a whole host of people. And I think that's fabulous. But back then, you couldn't find it anywhere. There literally was no education specifically for senior photos. There was also no feature sites, no anything other than wedding-based blogs, right? And back then it was blogging. So again, now there's a ton and you can find the one that fits for you. But when I started, there was zero. So I thought, well, if there's a wedding blog dedicated to showing off these amazing weddings and the photos from that wedding and educating people on this, then why can't there be a senior version of that, right? So I started out just wanting to, again, learn as I go. And so I thought, let me interview some, you know, people in the U.S. that are concentrating on seniors. I'll get something out of it because I'm trying to be a senior photographer, but I can also share what they say to someone else that may be in my same position that wants to be a senior photographer. So I used my journalism background and I just started interviewing people. You know, anybody that was photographing seniors, I'd take some of their work. I'd ask them, you know, how they got this photo, what camera they used, you know, what lab they used, you know, whatever. And I would just post the interview. So that's kind of how I started. And because there wasn't anything around, I started getting requests to help others. Now, I very much felt like I had to learn a while before I myself taught others. And so for years, I was not necessarily the quote unquote teacher, but I would have conferences that would have people that were, you know, better at it than me and allow them to teach people. And I learned along the way as well. Of course, I was running my own senior photography business, so I was figuring some things out and I was sharing everything along the way. But again, it just was one of those things that felt like there was a need and I felt like, hey, I can give this to you. So that's kind of where it started.
And now that time has passed and you've allowed these photographers to come up and share, do you feel more comfortable sharing that information now? Do you feel like you're that speaker now that you were hiring?
I mean, yes, I definitely do. And I probably could have been that long before I was. But, you know, let's be honest, we all have insecurities and fears. And I thought, you know, I can promote these other people better than I can promote myself. It doesn't come naturally to promote me and what I know. But over the years, I have successfully run a senior photography business. So the best way to educate someone else is having done it yourself, right? I didn't just dive into education and start sharing things that I didn't truly know myself. So for me, that was the way that was my journey into education, is I had to figure it out and try it out and do that for years before I felt comfortable sharing it with someone else. And now I'm like, you know, 15, 16 years in, I know exactly what works. I've figured it out. I've cracked the code. I know what works for me. I do it every single day. So for me, it comes from a place of, you know, now I am confident. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know everything. That's for sure. But at least I can speak to what many, many photographers are going through, because I'm doing the same thing. I have clients every day. I have a model team. I have had it for years. So, you know, and things change as time goes on. So I feel like it allows me to kind of go with the trends and see what's working now versus what's working then. You know, I mean, things change. Model teams aren't quite the same as they used to be, right?
Yeah. I think that's the thing that you have to realize as a senior photographer, and why it's wise to always be connected to people like yourself, or just the people that are tied into the high school senior community, because there's always mm-hmm. trends, there's always things changing, and you never want to be static, like be the same, because that's how people lose interest in you pretty quick. There was, when I was starting out, a senior photographer, he still could be around. But his work looked the same over 10, 15 years, like it hadn't mm-hmm. changed. And so mm-hmm. you were talking about, like, you saw an opening like that. That's how I saw an opening. Like, let me, if this is what they're expecting, I can definitely bring something different and new to the table. Mm-hmm. And I constantly want to keep evolving, especially if there's people around you who will model teams were the new thing at one point, and then everybody's doing model teams now. So you always want to be one step ahead, or just thinking of something new, because mm-hmm. everybody's going to start doing it, and you're not going to differentiate yourself from others. And so, it's great that you exist specifically, because you can tap into that, and you've been doing it for so long. Even though you may not know where the trend is going, you have had experience to monitor, like, what you can do to kind of tap into their interests in general.
Photography specifically, I mean, obviously I'm not in wedding, I'm not a newborn, but I do feel like teenagers seem to grasp onto or hold onto a trend, or, you know what I mean? Like, grab that trend a lot faster. And so it is very much a genre that you have to keep up with and make adjustments accordingly. I mean, even marketing to Gen Z is different than marketing to, you know, the seniors of the 90s or whatever, you know. Not that I was not photographing seniors in the 90s. Let me just say I was a senior in the 90s. But you see what I'm saying? You know, you have to keep up with it. So that's why education is one of those things that you constantly need to be doing, no matter who you're getting it from. Now, granted, I'd love for you to come to me, but I also feel like there's many, many other educators out there that can provide a different perspective, you know, et cetera. So as long as you are continuing to learn, you will be able to have the longevity in your business because it will teach you how to make the adjustments that need to be made in order to reach today's senior versus yesterday's senior versus tomorrow's senior.
And on that, topic, because trends are always happening, so the question that I have is, with the rise of video on social media, like, how essential is it for photographers to jump on board if they want to reach high school seniors specifically?
It's so important. I wish it was not. I mean, let's just be honest. We don't want one more thing to add to our plate. I mean, listen, that's one thing is I wish I didn't have to do it, but you have to. You just have to. Photos are not enough these days. Now with, you know, Instagram and TikTok and, you know, the reels and the TikTok videos. And I mean, listen, I'm too old to be learning new stuff, but I have to do it. Like, I have to learn how to make a TikTok. I have to learn how to make a reel because that is what's being pushed. That is what today's senior is watching. They, you know, may not be as interested in a static photo on a pretty feed anymore like they once were. So it's all about getting out there to be in front of your audience. Jared and I were talking a little bit before we hit record, and the minute you stop talking, the minute you stop putting something out there is the very minute or second, if you will, because it's such a fast-paced, you know, platform, is the second they will go look at someone else. So as much as I wish I didn't have to tell you that you have to create video content, as much as I wish I could just edit a photo and be done with it and people would book me and that would be fabulous, it's just not the case in today's world. You have got to be the forefront, like be in their face, be in their mind. So when they're ready to book a senior photographer, they don't even think about anybody else because you are in their mind. And video will help you do that.
And we can make excuses and stomp our feet about how much we don't like it, but it's always been a thing that we need to do more than just take a photo and post it online. Before, you know, it could have been blogs and optimizing all those keywords. And although you still have to do that, it's just slightly different in social media kind of posting instead of now what used to be your blog.
Right.
So there's always been things that you have to do. It's just now video is just one of those things that you have to be okay with and willing to do if you're going to specifically do high school seniors.
Right. You cannot do it and that's fine. And you still probably will get booked. You just won't grow as fast or as much as you probably will if you get on board with video.
How are you incorporating it into like your model program, or are you incorporating video in some way in your model program?
Yeah, I now have an intern. I did not always have an intern. She goes with me every model shoot. She grabs every form of video she can possibly grab. We turn those into multiple reels, TikToks. You know, I save them for when I'm advertising for the next model team, you know, repurposing that content over and over again. I always say the video or the photo that you don't take is the one you wish you did. So just take it. Just take it. Sometimes if my intern can't go with me, then it's me asking the mom or me having one of those things that gets put on your hot shoot of your camera and doing it myself. It's just part of my routine now where it used to never even enter my mind, right? And then also I've started this thing where I put the senior client on video at the end of the session, where I used to simply take a selfie, and that I still do. But in addition to that, I ask them a very specific question at the end of the shoot and video their response. Because again, if I don't do it, I don't have that to help market my business.
That's brilliant. And I hadn't thought of that before because we used to, And we still, I mean, I still do, but, you know, take selfies with the person that you're photographing, and it's just something that you can add to it. Are you doing anything specific? Like, is video incorporated specifically into the model program somehow, in the sense of like, everybody, let's do a TikTok dance, figure, you know, a TikTok dance to do while we're here together. Are you doing that sort of stuff too?
Absolutely. You can do, I mean, that's one of them. I mean, they love it. Have a competition, split your group up into, you know, groups of three or four, have them do a TikTok. And then we did this at our big styled shoot, and I split the group into two. They did a TikTok. I posted both of them, and then I had other people vote on which one that won, and one by a landslide. But it was just fun. It was interactive. It got people interested. Their friends were voting. So it's a little bit more interactive when you can do something like that than if you just post a pretty edited photo. A pretty edited photo does not necessarily push people to make a comment. They might double tap it, but what are you getting out of that? Not a lot these days, right? But if you can push people to vote or to comment or to, you know, something, then you're starting a relationship with their friends that you may not know yet, right? So video is the best way to do that. And then also just putting stuff on your story. People look at my story way more than they look at my feed. So anytime you post something on your feed, it better also be in your story, because most teenagers are clicking through those stories at the top of their Instagram and not necessarily going to look at someone's feed.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love that idea of doing that in your model program. It's just so funny that now time is dedicated to TikToks in your model shoot. It's hard to kind of wrap your head around, but it's just the way that it is. Even for weddings, like, I've had brides stop their wedding timeline because they have a specific TikTok that they wanted to get before they move on.
Everybody wants to go viral these days. So, you know, especially a wedding entrance, those are big on TikTok. I love to see a good wedding entrance, right?
Yeah. And so it makes sense that that would trickle down to something like a senior model shoot. And how you said when you're making content, making it worth interacting with. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you have to kind of think of. It's not just shooting just to shoot the video content, but what's going to engage your audience, their audience, into doing something, and having that competition aspect to it rather than even just one group video, like the brilliance of splitting them up.
I mean, it's just
a smart idea.
But if you do the competition and you've got two videos, three videos, however many, you know, you split your group into. So that's even more content from one single time frame of a shoot, right? So if you can train your mind to know why you're doing it, have a purpose behind whatever it is you're trying to, as far as the content, and then figure out a way to extend that content into multiple posts or videos, then that's golden. Because it's the time it takes to make content that usually keeps people from doing it. So if you can figure out a way to get content that will extend itself, either in repurposing or multiple videos from one shoot, that really will help you a lot.
Yeah. One of the questions that I had for you had to do, it's so brilliant. And I feel like I keep saying the word brilliant, but there's some good little nuggets in here that
nobody
you keep
ever calls
sharing.
It brilliant. You can say it over and over again. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Just... okay. 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 I don't mind it. But the question I had asked, which we've kind of touched on, but is what type of video content is going to attract high school seniors? Not necessarily your model team, because you already have those, but those friends, or the juniors and the sophomores and the freshmen, like what type of video content is going to get them to want to work?
Yeah. Right. And it's very, very simple. So it's not some light bulb moment that's probably going to go off right now because you've probably heard of this before, but simply behind the scenes. If you show people what it's like to work with you, they are more likely to want to work with you. So instead of, again, I go back to that beautiful edited still photo that only tells part of the story. It does not tell you how you got there. You know, people love a before and after. I mean, literally HGTV is on my screen right now. It's what's constantly playing because I love a before and after. I love a transformation. So use that to your advantage. People want to see what it's like from the very beginning to that final edited photo. And that is honestly the easiest video to produce because you're already shooting. You're already taking the photos of the senior. You're already there. Just have the mom or have you, you know, put the little thing on your camera or get you a stand and set it up and forget about it because you can edit it. It's not hard. You can get InShot. It's the easiest editing app I've ever heard of. So it's not hard. But again, if you don't have the video, you can't show that, right? And you've got to draw people in to make them want to photograph with you, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people that can take pretty photos. There just is. And what can you do to make someone want that pretty photo from you? And the best way I know how is to show people what it's like to work with you. Are you fun on a shoot? Are you goofing around? Are you laying on the ground? I am. So that makes people know that I'm willing to do whatever it takes, right? And then again, that interview at the end of the session where a senior literally says, "My favorite thing was," that's coming straight from the client's mouth, and that is gold.
It's like you said, it's so simple. It's not mind-blowing information, and it's something that I need to do because I'm still shooting high school seniors, but I'm not doing it a ton, not as much as I want. I still want to.
Ways you can do more, right? If you start incorporating some of these ideas, and it's not something you probably haven't heard of before. It's not something you haven't thought of before. It's just a matter of doing it. So I do think, again, it goes back to training your brain to just always be mindful of that. And once you do it two or three times, you've set yourself a habit and it becomes second nature. I mean, I used to hate social media. Now it's like a no-brainer to me because I've just trained myself to do it. It's just automatic. It's a habit now.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. I just got to do it.
I've said it this whole time.
That's all I've been saying is there's so many excuses that I make to not do something, and I just need to do it. And like I've said as well, like this is the first step in doing that. And so hopefully this will be the start of a habit forming of reaching out to people, chatting with them. You had mentioned earlier, like it's just more fun when it's not just you talking and saying something.
Yeah.
When you invite somebody else into the conversation, it just makes it more interesting for everybody, for the person watching, for me. It feels like I'm actually talking to somebody because I am and not just looking at a black hole in my phone. I'm glad that we took the time to do this and that you jumped on so quickly to do it when I just reached out, last week?
Right. Well, you know, I'm always happy to do anything with you, Jared. So
do you have any future shootouts or conferences that you'd like to do?
Well, so right now, I am doing what I call the Seniorology Semester. It is a 6-month coaching program. And that's what I'm focused on right now. And it does include a 2-day in-person retreat where we have that element of in-person as well. We're able to do a shoot together. We're able to do some headshots together. But what I found over the years of doing, I've done workshops, I've done shootouts, I've done conferences, and I loved it. And there is a place for those. But as the person in charge, I never really felt like I could. I mean, 2 days is just not quite enough, right? You can't cram everything into 2 days. And then also once they leave a conference or a workshop, it is then up to them to implement it, right? And I want to see success. So the best way I could come up with helping people, actually giving them enough time to implement the stuff and seeing their success was to coach them for 6 months and push them and nudge them and hold their hand and do all that stuff that where they actually can put it into place. Because I just want everybody to succeed, you know, I genuinely do. And 2 days of a conference or 2 days of a workshop, it was great during those 2 days, but then they left. And you don't really know what they did with that information, right? And it can somewhat be overload at a workshop like that. So again, there's a place for those. And I know a lot of people running them. And I would very much offer up some suggestions if that's the avenue you want to go. I can tell you some great ones. But for me as the educator, I just get so invested in the person in their business. And I genuinely want to make sure that they get this information and are able to implement it. That's where the coaching thing came. So for 6 months, I'm helping you do that. And then for 2 days, then we can have fun. We can spend 2 days together and talk and chat and connect and answer questions and shoot, but we're not trying to cram in 6 months of education in 2 days, right? We've already done that. So that's what I'm doing now. And those semester students are also able to go on reunion retreats where we are able to just sit and really invest our time together and do more shoots and, you know, answer questions, see where their business is now. So those are the main things that I'm concentrating on. Of course, I have some online courses and a free Facebook community and my podcast, and there are many, many ways to learn, from me as well as many, many others. But, I have seen such much more growth out of my students via this semester than I ever did when I did conferences. And it's a lot less stressful. I mean, hosting a conference is stressful. Nobody really understands the behind the scenes and the big contracts you have to sign and the possibility of not making the money to pay for that. You know, there's just a lot. So 5 years of that conference, I felt like I was like retiring like a famous football player on their high, you know, like Tom Brady probably should have. But you know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay, 5 years, I did it successfully. I don't want to have a bad one. So I'm going to move on. So there was an element of that as well. But again, it allowed me, at those conferences, I saw the speakers get to know the attendees a lot better than me because they didn't have to talk to the caterers. They didn't have to deal with the weather. They didn't have to deal with the attendee who didn't get her gluten-free meal or whatever the case may be. So, I was a little jealous, if I'm going to be honest with you. I was jealous of the fact that these speakers could really have a relationship with these attendees, which is what I wanted, but I couldn't because I had the stress of, dealing with the hotel and et cetera. So that's where I'm at today, but never say never, there might be another workshop or a shootout is one of my favorite things because, you just never can get enough experience shooting in my mind.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's such a great idea, a brilliant idea of that morph of, or that transition for conferences and meeting people because mm-hmm. it's such a cram in those 2 days and then you just get so overwhelmed and you just get back into your normal routine. But if you're spending 6 months with a group of people online and then getting to meet them in person, there's just so many benefits that are kind of happening there. Education wise, like you're really learning whatever you're wanting them to learn. But then at the end, you're still getting that in-person experience, that networking, that connection that people need in order to grow as well. So that's a great idea and a great way to kind of spin it where you're still kind of doing the same thing, which is connecting photographers with each other. But you're kind of melding kind of two virtual and in-person together in a way that's, in my opinion, just a better way to do it. So that's awesome.
Well, it's creating a community in and of itself. So each round of the semester, those 10 people really bond because we are doing group coaching, but we're also doing individual coaching. So they still get that individual attention from me and the help they need, but they're able to learn together as well. And then they come together in person. So they leave with a support system, which there's nothing like a support system. I mean, there just isn't. And, you know, we started this conversation off talking about don't stay inside your office, you know, get out and meet people. I can help you. I can give you some people to bond with and have a support system, because it really does make the difference. I believe it can make the difference in a successful photographer versus somebody that maybe isn't as successful as they could be.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I love that. And like I said, I knew we were going to go, I mean, it's over an hour, much less 20 minutes. But so we'll end with Photostrap stuff, because I have my own full-time job to get back to.
Right.
But with as far as the Photostrap questions, there's only two. There is, you know, what strap do you own? And mm-hmm. what do you love about that strap? So we'll start there.
So I have owned every strap because I love Photostrap. And I've loved the company since the day, you know, I met Katie and then have met you and have you know, grown with you guys and watched you grow. And I love companies that, you know, not only are friends and nice people. I want to support nice business owners, right? Like people that are genuinely kind, but also you guys give back. So how can you not support Photostrap, right? And I was lucky enough a long time ago to actually do one of the films and photo shoots for someone we gave it to, you know, that Photolanthropy. Yeah. Sponsored. So I've been around a long time. I've been a customer a long time. Again, I had the very first one, but my favorite one is the skinny one. I don't know if you guys can see this brown leather one that I have, but this is my favorite. I have a gray one just like it. And I like it because it doesn't make me sweat. I live in South Carolina, as I mentioned, and it's super hot. So, you know, having a strap that doesn't really make me sweat, but is also stylish. I mean, I love, you know, style, and anything's better than that Nikon one that they send you with the camera. Yeah. But yeah, I really do. I love it. You often can find me with both the gray one and the brown one, because I have a DSLR and I have a mirrorless, and I haven't quite gotten used to the mirrorless yet. So I'm still sticking with my DSLR. So oftentimes I have both of them on me, but that is my favorite one. I like the fact that they're leather. I like the fact that they're branded. That's one of my favorite pieces of it, is no matter where I go, someone compliments me on my photo strap. That's for sure.
That's what I try to hit home with people is, you know, it's not about our brand, it's about your brand. And that's why right. We want you to personalize it. And when you do personalize it, your logo is out there for, mm-hmm. for everybody to see while you're shooting. It's free advertising while you're shooting. And me being an introvert, I don't always put myself out there. But when I have a camera around me, it kind of makes me an extrovert. But it makes it easy for people to just say, hey, Jared, and I have no idea who they are, but they see the name on the back of
my
camera strap. Yeah, exactly. And so it's perfect. And it's like, why not do that? And why not personalize it? And if you don't have something like that, it's almost kind of crazy.
It makes you and me and anyone that has one look more professional. You know, there are many straps out there and you can get a different one or whatever, but when you have a branded stylish photo strap, I can't tell you how many people come up to me going, oh, I'm looking for a photographer. And I'm not just the tourist with the camera, because I have this strap that tells people my brand. It kind of validates me as a professional. Whereas if I was just in the park with just a random camera, I just might be a tourist, right? Like nobody would come up to me probably. So I definitely think the branded piece of it, but then I also just love the soft leather and I love how they're constructed. And I just love the philosophy of the company. So there's lots to love about Photostrap.
Well, cool. Well, then that knocks out the last question. So that's really it. I don't have anything more to say on that note. So you can unrecord and I can tell you about
this other job. Because we're using this both on my channel and your channel, tell people where they can find Photostrap.
Oh, and we need to do the same for you. So Photostrap, you can find Photostrap at let's reset. You can find Photostrap at F O T O strap.com. So it's photo with an F. And you can find us on social media, Photostrap, on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. And good. So where okay, can good. They find you?
So they can find me at seniorology.com. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok at seniorology. You can join the free seniorology Facebook community, which is just called the seniorology community. So yeah, you can find me there.
Thank you for listening to the seniorology podcast.